Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
Good morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter to you all on this glorious Easter day. Whatever the world is like at the moment, today is glorious because we celebrate and worship our God who is all-powerful and for whom nothing and no one is greater. And we celebrate today because love wins. This morning I'm going to focus our thoughts on John 11, 25 to 26, which you may want to have open in your Bibles and spend some time just now reading the context of those two verses. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to thank you for the Easter story of love and redemption and grace and sacrifice. As we hear from your word now, may this not just be a story for us, but a living and real experience in our lives. Come, Lord, reveal your risen self to us as we hear from you now. Amen. Last summer, my family all went on holiday together. Us four, my parents from Chelmsford and my brother and his family from Bangladesh, all congregated in Bournemouth. My parents are originally from the South Coast, my dad from Portsmouth and my mum from Dorchester, so we spent many a holiday down there as children. This holiday we had last year was a bit of a trip down memory lane for my parents and Richard and I. One of the things we did was to visit the grave of my maternal grandparents. It was quite moving to be there. I don't suppose I've visited it for nearly 20 years. As I walked through the graveyard looking for my nan and granddad's grave, I couldn't help but look at some of the other gravestones as I was passing by. I found it interesting to try and discover something about the other people who had been buried there. The children with us were all doing the same. Anyway, one of the gravestones read this: "Remember me as you pass by. Where you stand now, so once stood I. Where I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me." Death is powerful. Some people believe that death is the greatest power in the world. It's a power that cuts down people and ends all their earthly dreams and hopes and aspirations. Death is a horrible reality. And it's even more real at the moment as we face this virus which so many already have sadly succumbed to. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, death is referred to as an enemy. So why do I say all this? Why all this talk about death? Well, because in this final week of our Lent series on the I Am statements of Jesus, we are looking at what Jesus says to Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died. You can find this account in John chapter 11. When Martha questioned Jesus as to why he didn't come earlier to save her brother from death, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" You know, I've really struggled to write this sermon this week because with all that's going on in the world at this moment, I didn't want to have to talk about death. There's just enough talk of it. I wanted to talk about life. The truth is, often at Easter we want to bypass the unpleasantness of Holy Week. It's just more appealing to go from waving branches on Palm Sunday to shouting, "He is risen!" on Easter Monday. After all, it's depressing to sit through services recounting the betrayal, suffering and crucifixion of Jesus. It's nice to go from exaltation to exaltation. But of course, life doesn't work that way, does it? There are interruptions to our joy. Heartache happens. Easter occurs not in spite of death, but because of it. Christian faith offers hope because it faces death squarely and moves through it, not around it. It means that pain, disappointment, and heartache are not final realities, and that although it might be considered the enemy, it's actually not the greatest power in the world. death takes away. Death forever changes things. That's what death does. But here is what death cannot do. Death cannot give a future. Death cannot create. Death cannot do a new thing. Only the great I am can do that. And so in these few moments, yes, we'll face death, but most certainly it is not going to have the final word today. I am going to give that to the great I am. On a Sunday morning, almost 2,000 years ago, Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter and John went to the tomb of Jesus and discovered it was empty. Jesus' body was gone. The only thing left behind were the burial clothes, which were neatly wrapped where Jesus had lain. Not even death could contain Jesus. On that day, when Jesus rose from the tomb, it was like an exclamation point on Jesus' statement to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus demonstrated that he didn't just have the power to bring people back from the dead only to die once again. Lazarus was given life, but eventually he would die again. But in Jesus' resurrection, he proved that he had and has power over death itself. When Jesus was resurrected, he didn't have a body which would decay and die again. Jesus had a new body, a resurrected body, a new life which death could never conquer again. I believe Jesus wants us to realize the very power of resurrection and life is in him. And he is still very much alive today. And this resurrection and life is still available to us today if we believe. Like Jesus' reply to Martha, if you only believe, you would see God's glory. Jesus wants us to know there is hope in any and every situation and for every person because Jesus is alive. In Rob Fouquet's book, The God We Can Know, he highlights how he believes that the important word in this I am statement is not resurrection or life, but believe. The Greek word for this can also be translated as trust. Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe." There was a tightrope walker who did incredible aerial feats. All over Paris, he would do tightrope acts at tremendously scary heights. Then he had succeeding acts. He would do it blindfolded. Then he would go across the tightrope blindfolded and pushing a wheelbarrow. An American promoter read about this in the papers and wrote in a letter to the tightrope walker saying, "Tightrope, I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, besides all your transportation fees, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls." Now, Tightrope wrote back, "Sir, although I've never been to America and seen the falls, I'd love to come." Well, after a lot of promotion and setting the whole thing up, many people came to see the event. Tightrope was to start on the Canadian side and come over to the American side. The drums rolled and he comes across the rope which is suspended over the treacherous part of the falls blindfolded. And he makes it across easily. Well, the crowd's gone wild and he comes to the promoter and says, "Well, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. I mean, I just saw you do it." "No," said Tightrope, "do you really believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. You just did it." "No, no, 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 no," said Tightrope. "Do you believe I can do it?" "Yes," said Mr. Promoter, "I believe you can do it." "Good," said Tightrope. "Then you can get in the wheelbarrow." How far will your faith take you? Do you really believe in God? In light of this, I encourage you to read that I am statement of Jesus again, substituting the word believe for trust. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who trust in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and trusts in me will never die." Do you trust this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I trust." That puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? There's a difference between believing in something and trusting in it. We truly believe someone when we're able to put our trust fully in that person. In this account, Christ was no longer just someone to believe in, but someone to believe. Fouque goes on to explain that Karl Barth, the famed Swiss Reformed theologian of the 20th century, compared his relationship with God to a man who had a job ringing the bell in the centre of the village. One evening, he climbed the circular stairway up the bell tower. He got near the top, and then he suddenly lost his balance and started to fall into the dark abyss. He reached out to grab the handrail, but instead his arm found a rope of the bell. He grabbed it and pulled down to steady himself. Then he heard the loud gong peal out, shattering the silence of the still night. That story became a powerful metaphor for Barth's relationship with God. It was in those times of desperation when he felt there was nowhere else to turn that he discovered the sureness of God's presence. The great goal of the spiritual life is not only to believe in God, but to believe God. It is a trust issue, and that often it's our own resistance that can hold us back from experiencing God's possibilities. But when we accept, new opportunities can unfold. We can be resistant to new opportunities because we want to hold on to the old, but at some point there has to be acceptance of the new reality, no matter how unwanted it may be. Only then can we be open to what God has next for us. Resurrection is the miracle of new possibilities, and it doesn't occur without death. So what did Jesus mean when he said that those who believe in him will never die? Well, one thing is clear, is that he wasn't talking about the physical life, because we all must die. He was firstly thinking of the death of sin. Being dead to sin can mean several things. It can mean being so selfish that we are dead to the needs of others, being so insensitive that we are dead to the feelings of others, being involved in dishonesties and disloyalties of life which cause us to be dead to honour. Jesus was also thinking about the life to come, that death was not the end. The last words of Edward the Confessor were, "Weep not, I shall not die. As I leave the land of the dying, I trust to see the blessings of the Lord in the land of the living." We call this world the land of the living, but in fact it is the land of the dying. William Barclay says this, "Through Jesus Christ we know that we are journeying not to the sunset, but to the sunrise. We know that death is a gate on the skyline. In the most real sense, we are not on our way to death, but on our way to life." Yes! How does this happen? Well, it goes back to our tightrope story. We've got to believe in Jesus, to accept everything that he said is true, and to stake our lives upon that imperfect trust. When we do, we enter into two new relationships. Firstly, we enter into a new relationship with God. When we believe that God is as Jesus told us he is, then we become absolutely sure of his love and that he is a redeeming God. And secondly, we enter into a new relationship with life. When we accept Jesus' way, when we take his commands as law, and when we realise that he is there to help us live as he commanded, then life becomes a new thing. Resurrection means a whole new life, a different life. For Jesus to be the resurrection, he must defeat death, and this is precisely what he did. When Jesus breathed his last upon the cross, in the eyes of Satan, it must have been the great victory. But it wasn't a victory for Satan, because 3 days later something happened, the resurrection on Easter morning. And this is what we celebrate today. When Christ was raised, he was raised victoriously over Satan. Love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah. Fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. The empty grave is guarantee of our resurrection, both in this life and the life to come. You see, Jesus does not just hold the power of resurrection or wield it temporarily on some limited basis. He is I am. He is the resurrection and the life. He defines resurrection, and life flows and follows wherever he goes. He is and ever shall be. Lazarus was not the first man ever to stop breathing, the heart stop pumping, and the skin cold to come back to life. It happened in the Old Testament according to God's will. It happened again in the New Testament, even after Christ in the ministry of Paul. It's an unusual occurrence, but it has and does happen by God's will. Such occasions would be better termed resuscitations or reanimation. They were dead, all right, stone cold dead. The power of God came upon them by faith through God's man, and as God willed, life refilled their bodies. There's even been some modern examples of this happening by faith and prayer. Occasionally, for his own glory, God himself will break into human existence in an extraordinary way. The downside, and why I differentiate the terminology, is that resuscitation is only temporary. Lazarus was raised to life by the Son of God himself after 4 days being dead, but to my knowledge, he's not around today. In about 30, maybe 40 years following that day, Lazarus died again. Jesus himself said the miracle was so that God might be glorified, but something was still missing in Lazarus's life. On the first Easter Sunday, something unprecedented happened. Jesus didn't just restore or resuscitate, he transformed. Matthew 28:1-6 says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So today, we come to the empty tomb on Easter Sunday and we hear the angel say, "He is not here. For he is risen. This day there is no grave on earth that holds Jesus Christ. He has risen and he lives forevermore." Easter is resurrection power. It is new life in a way that we have never experienced before. The kingdom of God is here, and in him we live and move and have our being. We live in this kingdom even now. Eternal life begins the moment you become a child of God, and the hope of the resurrection becomes your trust, your own inheritance. The greatest evidence of the resurrection is not in the eyewitness, the cover-up, the prophetic record, the empty tomb, or the witness of the early church. The greatest evidence is found in the words of a song. "I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart." Resurrection power means that although your body is still subject to decay, your spirit lives. We're all going to grow older and we're all likely die at some point. The difference is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, works through you and out of you. You know, I hope and pray that by examining these I am sayings of Jesus together over these past few weeks, it's provided a fresh awareness that God wants to be revealed to you in a new way, in a resurrection way. God wants to be known. And much more important than knowing about God is knowing God. The more we know the great I am, the better we can finish our own I ams. We are not just made by God, but made out of God. The more we know the one who said, "I am the bread of life," the greater satisfaction and joy we have. The more we know the one who said, "I am the good shepherd," the greater our security and confidence. The more we know the one who said, "I am the light of the world," the more we experience God's guidance and direction. The more we know the one who said, "I am the true vine," the more connected we are to God's power. The more we know the one who said, "I am the way, the truth and the life," the more we walk a pattern for living that gives peace and hope. And the more we know the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life," the more we discover God's possibilities for living. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. I pray that you will all know and experience that new life for yourself. Let's pray together. Glorious God, my Abba Father, I ask for your help to believe more strongly in the words of Jesus. I want to live vibrantly, always alive to the promise that the true life, that is me, is tied to Jesus, and that Satan cannot defeat, destroy, or take that life from my Lord. Stir me to live more passionately, always alive to the moment, knowing that my future with you is secure. In Jesus' name. And a final benediction. As Christ burst forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And may the same Christ who lives forever and is the source of our new life keep your hearts rejoicing and grant you peace this day and always. Amen. He is risen. Now you go live that resurrected life. Happy Easter.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.